Swinging spells down the street, same old decks we played last week. It's MTG in quarantine. We're all alright, we're all alright. The MTG in Quarantine Podcast. Hey, what is up, everybody? My name is MJ, and you are listening to the one and only MTG in Quarantine Podcast, where the motto is EDH, community, now and always. As usual, before we get started here, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. Find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine. It's a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Bence, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Row for supporting the show. If you like what you hear and you want to help support the show, go on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine and help support the show. Also, if you want to pick up your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat, you can go over to Inked Gaming, that's I-N-K-E-D gaming.com. Got two really awesome versions, both these full color logo as well as the grayscale version. They both look amazing, and you are going to want one for you and all of your friends. So again, you can go on over to Inked Gaming, that's I-N-K-E-D gaming.com. You can find the affiliate code link in the link tree, link in the episode description below. Every purchase helps support the channel, and it's greatly appreciated. Also, if you are listening on a podcast outlet with a rating system, please leave a 5-star review for this podcast on your outlet. It'll help me try to beat that dreaded algorithm and continue to grow this MTG in Quarantine community. So again, if you're podcast outlet has a rating system or even just a comment system, please leave a favorable review if you like what you hear. It's greatly appreciated. And on to today's episode. So I usually do these episodes right when Mark Rosewater reveals his teaser posts on Tumblr for upcoming sets. And right now that is Wilds of Eldraine, which is our return to Throne of Eldraine from a couple of years ago, back from 2019 in the quote unquote before times, I guess, as we can say. So basically how this is going to work is I have the Tumblr post up in front of me. I'm going to talk about a couple of the items on here in each section that I'm really excited about, just kind of speculate on what they might be. And yeah, just kind of go ham on the speculation. Again, I know that most of the things I'm going to talk about, I'm probably going to be extremely wrong on, but again, that's the fun thing about speculation, right? If you wanted to hear accuracy, there are probably other creators who do that a lot better than me, but I just kind of have a lot of fun talking about magic, talking about, you know, speculation, kind of letting my brain run wild. So without further ado, I'd like to get to the first bit here. So yeah, the first up, it's going to be, here's some things you can expect. So these are going to be kind of just some ideas that come out here, some very vague ideas. Mark Rosewater doesn't exactly release a lot that's, you know, overly obvious, but again, that's the point. We haven't gotten a preview season yet, so yeah. I'm going to start off with multiple legendary foods. So we've been seeing a lot more food support in the game lately. Obviously, it started with the original Throne of Eldraine back in 2019. And, you know, we haven't really ever seen a legendary food before. So now we know from at least the first few cards in preview that we do have a legendary food, a gingerbread character. So that's, excuse me, definitely going to be in the set here. The question is, are we going to have a couple of gingerbread characters, because we know from the original Throne of Eldraine trailer that there were two gingerbread people in that particular skit there, and kind of wondering if they're going to be in the set. We know one is confirmed, the other one, not so much. Also, kind of want to see a legendary gingerbread. I know I'm not alone in this one, because everyone loves gingerbread. And that would be really awesome. There's also been a spoiled bit of artwork about kind of a giant, I guess, donut, maybe funnel cake with really sharp teeth. So maybe that is going to be a legendary food as well. So we shall see on that one. Next one, a creature type from Alpha gets a draft archetype. That's going to be interesting. I'm going on Scryfall right now, so I pardon for the short break here. But, you know, yeah, unfortunately with Alpha, it's really difficult to tell what the creature types are because they didn't really have really an idea. Back in 93, there was really no idea that this game was going to actually grow to where it is now. Anyway, going through just white right now, we have creatures like Pegasi, we have Paladins, Unicorns, Savannah Lions, obviously, was one of the big breakouts of the set. Obviously, we had Sarah Angel, Shivan Dragon, various other creatures like that, but they already have support for their creature types. We had the original Clone, the Djinn, obviously Merfolk with Lord of Atlantis, just kind of going through some things here. And a lot of these do actually have support. Black Knight with Knights, for instance, Wraiths have a little bit of support, Skeletons have support, Demons definitely have that with Lord of the Pit. Yeah, so again, I'm not sure, but I'm going to assume it's probably a white creature. Again, that's just my two cents on this particular subject. It'd be kind of cool to see Banalish Hero, who was a 1-1 for 1 with Banding, who's a hero. You know, obviously it's a human soldier now, but, you know, it would have been kind of cool if they had made Hero an actual type. But it'd actually be really cool to, if I'm going to choose one, it'd be really cool to see Paladins in this set. I know it's not going to happen, but that would be really awesome, especially since Northern Paladin was a 3-3 for 2 white-white, and you pay white-white and tap to destroy a black card in play, cannot be used to cancel black spell as it is being cast. Obviously, in the early days of Magic, like with Black Knight and White Knight, for instance, we had color-hating cards there where the white and the black cards would hate on each other. So, you know, having that kind of archetype would be really awesome. Just, you know, if you take it out of just that part of the color pie, you extend it to green, red, and blue as well, where they just kind of hate on each other's abilities and whatnot and destroy each other's cards. That'd be really cool. But again, it would get really confusing really quickly. So more, I mean, would it be like Pearled Unicorn? Is that where we're going with this? Because we do have a legendary unicorn, obviously, and this is Wilds of Eldraine, so it's entirely possible that we're going to see more unicorn support, especially since we're talking about an archetype around this. So yeah, it's a creature type from Alpha gets a draft archetype, so I mean, probably out of this, Pearled Unicorn is probably going to be it. I wish it was the Paladins, but it's probably going to be the Unicorns. So we shall see. Again, I know that folks out there who want to build Unicorn decks do have Emile the Blessed, which is great, but doesn't necessarily, well, kind of gives you a little bit of Unicorn support, I suppose. But this set would definitely be the perfect place for Unicorns to really take off. So that is going to be my guess. I'm going to lock that in. And yeah, going to be ready to be wrong on that one. Here's another fun one. So if a permanent entering the battlefield causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time. So this is the Panharmonicon effect. Mostly we saw this recently with Elish Norn, I believe Mother Machines, on that one from Phyrexial Will Be One. And this is an extremely powerful ability, obviously, because there's so many good ETBs running out there now, enter battlefield effects, that having the ability to double those effects with a static ability like this is really awesome. So I fully expect this. I mean, obviously, Elish Norn is in white, so maybe they change the color pie on this one. Maybe we'll see something in red or blue, because obviously we have the Kenrith twins in this set. Seems very obvious, but again, we also could have some shenanigans going on in the color that loves to do this sort of stuff. And that's, I would say green loves to do that. So, and especially have ETBs. So maybe it could be in that part of the color pie. I don't know, but whatever this card is going to be, unless they're reprinting Panharmonicon, whatever card this is going to be is just going to be stupidly expensive. I mean, I'm not going to lie. The Elishnorn, Mother of Machines, I think, just checking the price here. Yeah, it's still $25. It's very expensive for a reason, because it's a very good card. So, yeah. Having Panharmonicon on another type of card that is not Panharmonicon makes the ones that can run that in Elishnorn extremely, extremely good. So definitely keep an eye out on probably one of the chase cards in this set. Honestly, it's going to be my guess. Okay, so we're going to see have base power and toughness 4/4 and flying. So that is kind of the a dragon token type base power toughness there with flying. So obviously not the original Shivan Dragon, but any time you can give a creature base power toughness 4/4 and flying, you've all of a sudden turned every... Well, actually, no, I guess that technically turns it into an angel token. What am I saying? But again, this is Wilds of Eldraine. We really don't have angels in this particular setting. So maybe this, yeah, it goes back to the dragon type. Although we do have the angel text box here. I have a hard time believing we're going to be seeing angels in this set. But anyway, the idea of being able to turn something into something else. We obviously had Oko in the original Throne of Eldraine who could modify objects and people. So maybe we have some sort of similar effect where, you know, you can be transformed into a large flying creature or be turned into a dragon. Obviously, if you take some of the fairy tale aspects of this, being turned into a dragon has already been done. So maybe Wizards is going to go in that sort of direction with this particular one. So just something interesting here. Another one that's going to be interesting and definitely has flavor here with the original Throne of Eldraine support is going to be X is 2 plus the number of cards in your graveyard that are instant cards, sorcery cards, and or have an adventure. Obviously, adventure is a mechanic we've only seen in Throne of Eldraine up to this point, and the fact that you're going to be seeing kind of that, I'm trying to think of the Drake, the is it Drake that has this sort of ability, but anyway, it's going to be... Yeah, this definitely goes beyond those kinds of cards where it says it has to be that particular card name in the graveyard to get X plus, like Goblin Gathering, I believe, was the name of that red sorcery that did that. It cared about the number of Goblin Gatherings in your graveyard. But yeah, again, the fact that this is going to be giving you all of your instants and sorceries, which, again, in the right deck, sounds like this is probably going to be some sort of red or blue card, probably more a blue card, but it could be in the Izzet part of the color pie. And the fact that you can also add adventures in, which we're going to be getting more adventures, obviously, so there's going to be more support for that particular mechanic. And then you're adding 2 plus all of that. I don't know. This starts sounding like a rare just from the outset. Like, you're already taking something that's extremely powerful, which is counting up instances of sorceries in your graveyard. You're adding adventures, especially for the limited mechanics, or sorry, the limited set mechanics here. And then you're adding 2 to it. This is definitely going to be a rare card. So just something to keep an eye on right there. Oh, and speaking of adventures, adventures on a new permanent type. So obviously we've seen adventures on creatures with Prosperous Innkeeper, Beanstalk, Giant. We've seen adventures on... have we seen adventures on enchantments? Again, I have to look this up really quickly, so I apologize for that. Obviously, adventures, for those who aren't aware, are, you know, cards that allow you to... They're not necessarily modal cards. They allow you to basically have an instant or sorcery attached to a permanent. So, again, like with Beanstalk Giant, you can cast a giant beater for 7, or you can pay 2 and a green, cast a sorcery to be able to get a basic land card out of your deck and put it onto the battlefield tapped. And then you can cast that particular card for its full cost from exile. So, you know, we've seen a little bit of support for this card, like Edgewall Innkeeper. That's what I was trying to think of, where whenever you cast a creature spell that has an adventure, draw a card. Lucky Clover, which got banned in Standard, because whenever you cast an adventure, an instant or sorcery spell, copy it, you may choose new targets for the copy. I'm just trying to think here, have we seen any adventures on artifacts? That's what I'm not quite sure, and I'm just taking a quick look at, just going back through Scryfall. Because obviously we see on creatures all the time. It makes sense, right? The creatures are it's easy to tack those on. But as far as it being on a different card type, I'm just looking through here. I'm just seeing it on creatures up till this point, which makes sense. Because again, you can cast those from exile. Creatures are fairly simple. Okay, well, it looks like we only have them on creatures. So, anyway, I'm going to assume that since it's Throne of Wilds of Eldraine, excuse me, that we're probably going to be seeing this on enchantments. This seems like an enchantment-heavy set. So we will probably see some sort of adventure being tacked onto enchantment, maybe a saga. Obviously, sagas have been extremely popular as of late, so we shall see if that happens. But my money is definitely going to be on enchantment for this. Battles don't make sense. Artifacts seems a little clunky. You obviously can't have a permanent side on an instant or sorcery, so those are definitely out. And lands, I mean, maybe a land, but again, my money's going to be on enchantment for this one. And let's go for one more. Speaking of sagas, we're going to have fairy tale sagas. So there you go. That might actually work out where you have an adventure and then a saga on the same card. Obviously, Throne of Eldraine loved to play around with fairy tales, and it would make perfect sense for Wilds of Eldraine to continue taking that and then, you know, punching it up to 11, as they said, and this is Spinal Tap. So anyway, that is going to be the previews for the just some things you can expect, as well as some of the rules stuff here. And we're going to go to the last part of, second to last part of this segment here, which is going to be some of the creature type lines from the set. So just kind of looking at some of these, ones I guess I'm most excited about are, a lot of people are talking about mice, is that we haven't really seen this creature type before. Everything's a rat. So the fact that we are going to be introducing mouse into the set actually is really, I think, very important, because it allows you to differentiate between mice and rats and really be able to open up a completely different section of magic. So I guess this is a long time coming, and especially with the dog versus hound argument that we've had in the past as a community, it just makes sense that, you know, there's enough of a difference, I would say, that, you know, just break it up. Not everything that looks like a rat has to be a rat. It could be a mouse. So just going to go with that. Creature, rabbit unicorn. This right here definitely kind of lends in the theory that I explained just a few minutes ago, that we could be seeing more unicorn support. And the fact that we'd be seeing a rabbit unicorn, yeah, I think that that right there definitely lends itself to potentially being correct. We have plant worm. That's going to be really interesting to see. We have a lot of worms with huge power of toughness, but they also cost a lot of mana and green. And then having them be a plant, that's a very interesting mixture. We shall see how that works. As far as the legendary creatures, we're going to have a rat noble. That'll be interesting to see. We don't have that many legendary rats, and certainly not one that would be considered a noble. So that'll be interesting to see, especially since most legendary rats we have are either rat support for the creature type, or we saw in Kamigawa Neon Dynasty, like with Greasefang, for instance, where, you know, you're just kind of an outlaw. So it'll be interesting to see how this fits into the whole set, especially how rats are going to be differentiated from mice in this particular set. As well as we're going to have a human warlock bard, so we kind of get the Tom Bombadil, I guess, from Lord of the Rings, just in this particular set. And then we just finally get to some of the names there in the set. Food Fight, obviously it's going to be really fun. Hopefully create a few food tokens, maybe goad something, kind of like a Disrupt Decorum, just with food tokens. Up the Beanstalk, which sounds like a ramp spell, honestly, but it sounds like it's going to be green, obviously. Stroke of Midnight. It sounds kind of like a Dimir spell or a blue spell, honestly, especially since we had the Clock Tower, which words, again, I'm not remembering the name of the card, but the mana rock that's in blue that you add a time counter to it, and then you shuffle your hand into your library and draw 7 cards. It'll come to me after I finish recording the episode. I just know it. Yeah, and A Tale for the Ages sounds like a saga. Sounds like something that would probably be in green. And 3 Blind Mice definitely sounds like a common coming out of white, honestly. Not sure exactly what it's going to do. But yeah, this sounds like an extremely interesting set. The first piece of the story is already up. If you're interested, go check that out on the mothership over at magicthegathering.com. I haven't looked at it yet, obviously, but I will be reading it at some point here. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed listening to my speculation episode. I hope you were okay with me just kind of randomly wandering through the episode today. It happens, you know. And yeah, definitely, if you're interested in hearing any of the previous episodes I've done on this particular subject about previous sets, or you're just interested in hearing any of the MTG and Quarantine back catalog, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets. There's your Googles, Apple, Spotify, Player FM, Rockcast, Podcast, Overcast, Breaker, and a million others. I'm honestly never keep track of all of them, but it's a major podcast outlet. You can probably find my content on there. You can also find all of my content over on my Linktree, which you can find in the link in the episode description below, which includes my Twitter, my cosplay Instagram account, my Moxfield, as well as just all the major podcast outlets for this podcast. So definitely go check that out if you haven't already. All right, I'd like to utilize this opportunity to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtgandquarantine. Huge round of thank yous again to Mr. Big Vince, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Ro for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtgandquarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.